Good morning, everybody. We're continuing on page Tesvav, third line from the top. Yesterday, the Rebbe was saying that we can't, as parents and as the teachers, we can't just say, you know, fold our hands up and say, what can we do? It's the younger generation, and we're not responsible. And he says we have to take a certain degree of responsibility as well, because the point of every generation is to pass it on, pass on the chain link from the generation before you to the next generation after you. And we have to say that these children that we're looking at are still Jewish children, and if they would have lived in earlier generations, they probably would be good religious children. And therefore we have to do what we can. And right before we ended yesterday, we talked about if you really wanted to return to Hashem and fix everything that was messed up, we have to see our share of the responsibility for the blame that we have. Because even if in earlier generations, or even if there is some flaw in the children now that was not in earlier generations, how can we neglect them and not investigate and try to come to the understanding of why there are problems and how to deal with them? And that way we'll know how to heal them and fix things up. So we're on page Tesvav, the third line, right in the middle. Ha'im yisborech ha'av belibo o apotropos hayeled leimor. Would a father or an adult who has responsibility over a child, a court-appointed person to be in charge of a child, would they bless themselves? Would they feel good about themselves, about a child, when they would say, "Chaf ani min mumei hayeled," I'm innocent from any of the blemishes of this child? Would they say that? If im reishis machalasa rak petza ketana hoisef, the beginning of the child's sickness was a small wound, small infection or whatever, asher yochle lehei rafei, which they could heal in the early stages. Vrak bihisrashluso, but because of his laziness, nispashta, it spread. Ves evorav hirkiva, and then the body part started to deteriorate. Would the parents say, I'm innocent from all problems? I didn't bring the sickness. But if it was at an early stage where it was treatable and he didn't do anything, could a parent really say he's not responsible? Obviously not. You could have, when you saw it was, there were symptoms, there were problems, you could have fixed it. B'chol ashmasam uvekilkulam alanu logol eskola ashma al b'nei ha-noar bilvod. For all their faults and destruction and havoc that's come across, we can't roll all the blame on the younger generation alone. Uli tzadek, and to justify ourselves, rak banacha, with a sigh, by saying, "Hoy b'nei ha-noar, oy, the younger generation. It's not enough. Give a krechts and that's it. Now you've fulfilled your obligation." Aleinu lahargish ke'ei v'dagas alev gam al hisrash luseinu. We have to feel a heartache. Okay, we have to feel a pain and a heartache also over our negligence, our laziness, our sluggishness. Then we can, and only then, can we search for a solution to fix things up. To heal the brokenness of our nation. To show us the way. And to remove the heart of stone from the younger generation. And we should all merit to serve Hashem in truth and with a full heart, so that we can become part of that Jewish people in which you will be glorified. And we're able to say, look at this child whom I have placed before you. Look how wonderful he is. So therefore, the Rebbe is saying that we have to accept the responsibility as well. And when we feel that we are responsible in our laziness, then we can start to look for some solutions. If we're only going to lay blame, with the younger generation. We're not going to come towards any kind of solutions at all. And we have to start getting our share of the blame. And now he's going to get into this. Lo behasharos, not with guesses, rak bechukim esanim uveuvdos chazokas, but with tested principles and hard facts. Aleinu levar b'rishono, first we have to explain ma achiluk bein dor lador, what is the differences between one generation and the next. Lama b'doras hakodim lanu, why in the earlier generations, kol chinuch shehu, any type of education, hoyamol, it helped, it worked. Talmidei kol malamidei, they call of the students of every teacher and the children of every father, rubam kukulam, almost all of them, hayuovda Hashem, ended up being servants of Hashem, v'lochein ato, but now not so. So what's the difference? So here comes the key. Here's the key. Hasiba hapshuta v'haikarisi, the simple and primary reason is as follows. Shehanoar kam v'choshev es atzmo le'ish b'terem b'moado. That the younger generation, they get up and they think of themselves as a fully developed adult before the time has come. And this is the definition of adolescence. The definition of adolescence, there was no such word as adolescence 200 years ago. It didn't exist. Adolescence means a child who thinks that they are the adult which they are not. That is adolescence in a line. They think they're an adult, well, they're not. And therefore, they want to be treated like an adult, but they're not. And how does a parent deal with that? Okay, that is the problem. And now he will elaborate on what the issues that follow that is. But that's the key. And if that was so 100 years ago, it's all the more so now, and probably worse. Okay? We could probably add a few more things to what he's saying, but this is definitely a starting point. Lo hashara biduya ona omrim bazeh. We're not just taking a wild guess when we say this. Ki gam kala olam makonin atalza, because the whole world is lamenting over this. Lo es hatam vasiba banu bazeh levaer. We're not coming here to explain why this has developed into this. Lama kamanar, why this younger generation has come up like this. But that's the reality. It doesn't really matter to look into the sociological reasons of why this has happened. It's the reality on the ground. Ruach shtus hazeh over al b'nei ha-noar, a spirit of foolishness, insanity, has passed over the younger generation. Lachshov es atzmo le'ish b'das v'ratzon. They consider themselves like an adult, intellectually and in desires. Ba'od bodas muhupach v'ratzen bosa umar. While he still really has an upside down intellect and desires that are quite unripe and bitter. Okay? So really they're not that smart, but they think they're smart. They're not really, having lots of self-control, but they think they have self-control. And really, our rabbis have told us long ago that we should be expecting this. Why? So when the Gemara talks about all the symptoms of the society of the world before Mashiach comes, it says, "Be'ikva de Mashiach," as the footsteps of Mashiach are being heard, "Chutzpah yiske," there'll be an abundance of chutzpah. Okay, it needs no translation, right? Gam zos chutzpah hi. It's also a chutzpah. Obviously, part of the chutzpah is lachshav es atzmo es daito l'nemani muvetuchin lisvach aleihem, for these kids to consider themselves and their understanding to be trustworthy and that we can rely on them. Right? The kid thinks he's as smart as the parents, if not smarter. And that's a big chutzpah that kid should think. He knows as much as his parents. More than his parents, not as much. Much more than his parents. That's a gewaltige chutzpah. If you think about it, you're a teenager, you don't know nothing from anything, and you think you're smarter than everybody else around you, and what you want is important. And that is a major problem. Yes, Howard?
I don't see why this problem should suddenly crop up in 1929. I'm sure it happened in every generation previously. Every generation tries to rebel to some extent to the generation.
It's not so. You gotta realize, every generation needed to survive. You had to survive. Pre-industrial revolution, first of all, you're lucky to be alive. A. B. No such thing as, free time. It didn't exist. What do you mean free time? You want bread on the table today? Get on the farm and work with the animals with me from sun up to sundown. You come home, you're exhausted, you have your supper. You know, if you don't do your share, the family starves to death. And if you didn't, they throw you out. That's it. There was no such thing. There's no such thing. I mean, you had the odd cases. You had the odd cases. But as, and not to say there might have been unique generations along the line. But by and large, children, there may have been adults who rebelled. Adults may have rebelled. But for kids to rebel? And
but that would mean it would be endemic just to that part of Europe, or let's say in the Arab countries or in different parts of the world. It shouldn't be going on if it was environmental.
It's not that big. It is not that big of a problem in the Muslim world. It isn't. Not where. Not.
So the Jews in Morocco.
Kids are blowing themselves up, and they listen to their parents.
But
you know,
the Jews in Morocco weren't going through the same thing with their.
No,
parents.
No, it wasn't so. It wasn't so. Where the Industrial Revolution did not come across, if you didn't have that. There's a lot of respect for tradition. The Sephardim had a lot more respect for tradition. When did they stop having respect for tradition? When they came to Eretz Yisrael and life was better for them. When they came to North America and life was better for them. When they had the backward life in the 1900s in all those places where the Sephardim lived, in Northern Africa, this and that, where you're still struggling to live. They didn't have time to have chutzpah. I mean, that's one of the key reasons. One of the key reasons. You got all this free time. So you got free time. So what do you expect them to do with all that free time? And the parents themselves indulge. So then how can they deny indulgence for their children? And it went on. It's post-industrial revolution. That's what he said. It's clear. It's without question. There's no such thing as kid talk back. As if you had anything to say. Everyone said you had nothing to say. There was respect. There was respect. That's the way it was. Okay. Now, Hadavar Hazeh, this thing, Kol Kach Hislakeach, next page to sign, this thing has such caught on fire, Ad Shemishtoimim Imanim Lifamim Lirais Tinaikis Kitarim Mamish, until we're amazed. Sometimes literally little kids, mamish, little babies. Ech Sheruach Asvis V'aymis Merum Hazeh, how this independent spirit and false strength, like bubbles over, but only by them and rises up in them. They think they're adults, right? You don't see this 5-year-old, 6-year-olds who come up with these wise cracks, and the stupid parents say, "Oh, look how clever he is! Give him a smack in the face, or at least tell him we don't talk this way. Shouldn't be proud of what you said." Oh, look how clever he is to be able to figure out how to put down somebody when he's 5 or 6 years old. Because by the time he's 6 years old, he's seen 5 years of television already. And he's, and what does he see in his house as well? The indulgences that go on, and he sees his parents cutting down the parents, and it's just all over. It's unbelievable. So it's amazing. You can be amazed that these little punks, little mommies, little kids are acting the same way. Now, that's the realities. You gotta realize the problem before we can start looking at a solution. Okay, yes.
So one side you're saying, well, the little kids, you know, they don't have anything to say. And you know, they're just, you know, nothing that they should be listen to us. But the other side you said that, you know, we sort of have to bend down and to educate one, we have to really connect to their individuality, listen to them and teach them their way, and everybody's very special and look at their individual soul. And
yes, yes.
How do you want to say the guys are little schmatz and listen to them and throw them on the field?
We didn't say throw them on the field.
So
he will tell us through the book how to learn how to raise children. We'll get to it. Just doing the introduction right now. There's ways to focus on the good parts of the child and not to expose them to. So he's going to tell us how that they're not going to grow up to be these little monsters. There's ways to deal with this. This shouldn't start. Shouldn't start off at all. We'll see. Gotta be patient. There are two now bad things that come out of this principle. Once we see the cause, The main problem is that the younger generation thinks that they're adults, and they're trusted in all this. So once they feel this way, now when you employ old educational tools, now you're gonna have two new problems. Hakas, number one, Shibishvilz there, because of this attitude, I'll call Madrich Malamed Umachanech upon every leader, teacher, whatever, guidance person. Mabir Hanar, the younger child, looks at them as what? Ke'al Oritz Zor, like a strange overlord, like a strange ruler. And they look at their parents like kings that are bossing them around, strange people who are suppressing them. Shebalim Shalav, they want to rule over them. Biyad Chazaka, with a strong hand. Vilush Lishlal Mimenu Shilton Atzmuso, and the parents want to remove from them their independent dominance. Dato Ritzono, his understanding and his desires. They're the enemies. You see, because I know everything. And my parents, they think because they're older than me, they can tell me what to do. You're like the cruel king who's trying to dominate the independent forces that deserve freedom. So the kids look at themselves as the freedom fighters, and the parents are suppressing freedom. They're suppressing my inalienable rights, right? And that's why, you know, if a parent thinks of disciplining a child today, the child already is smart enough to know, I'm going to call children's aid. And if a child, even under normal ways, right, child will pick up the phone and the parents are in jail. And the kids know they got that power.
It actually happens.
Sure. Now, I'm not saying, you know, sometimes you have parents who are nuts, Taka, and they should be called. But they now can say, call child aid, finished. And you're out. Because you guys are terrible monsters. I mean, he snagged us, and from this opposition, Afsina misareres bekervanar pinima el malam davaviv, that hatred arouses inside the child to those that are teaching them, or even to the parents. And it, to such a point, to the point where they don't even take heart to listen to what they say. And how those words should get into their hearts, they don't care. What are they thinking about? How to be freed from them. To get out of their hands. How can they get onto this, you know, get out of the house, get in the street with their buds and have a great time? Just, how can I be relieved from this burden? So that's first problem. If you think you're so smart and such a grown-up, and you're smarter than your parents, so what right do your parents have to tell you anything? And they're coming on to you so strongly, you're going to listen to me, obey your parents, children should be seen and not heard, and all these things. Are you crazy? I know more than you. I hate you for imposing yourselves upon me. I'm waiting for the day to get out of the house. That's the first problem. That's exactly, it's mamish. Vashnia, number two, she'efshir gedola pirtzasam in Rishona, and that the breach for number two can be greater than the first ramification. He, which is, shevataras, I called him in earlier generations, she'ishu sa'yelad vatzmusolo miharu lihiskabel lihiskadel ba'oda boser. In the earlier generations, where the maturity of the child didn't develop, while he was still in his unripe state. When the kid was unripe, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, he wasn't developed yet. Right? And, the manliness, the adulthood wasn't developed yet. And gam har gosha sova de yosov v'chlal kolashka sova ushifosov lumir alis pateh korozmano. And therefore all his feelings and his opinions, and his whole outlook and his drives, all these things were not yet fully developed. In other words, nothing was fully developed. When the kid was little, right, he wasn't developed in terms of feeling that he's an adult, and his real opinions weren't developed either. So that's fine. Everything was in an immature state. When everything's in an immature state, that's good. The child was like a clean slate, a tabula rasa. Benefesh Tahara, with a pure heart, Lakabalas Atsuros, Vesadiborim Asher Yirshmu Alav Merv Rabosav, to accept the etchings and the formations and the words that would impact and make a mark and impress the children from the parents and the teachers. And the truth is they were stuffed like, it's an expression of the Talmud, stuffed like Keturah, stuffed like an ox. Gemara says, when a child's little, you stuff him like an ox. You feed him Torah. Just keep stuffing him with it. Just learn. Because he's an open tablet. Just right on the tablet. They can learn, children can learn so easily. So just have them learn. Velot diburim bovad, not just words. Rakames nafsho seim bohichnisu. The parents could even implant their souls. Val nafsho chorsu, and they made an impact and penetrated into the kid's soul. Right? So what he's saying is, in the older generations, the kid was nothing. He knew he was nothing, and there was nothing. So whatever you put in, that's what went in. And this is before he comes to that maturity, when you start locking in your ideas. Right, the kid's little kid, he doesn't have maturity, he doesn't have any predisposed notions, he's nothing. So what do? You fill him up with Torah. That's what's coming into his mind. Now, Oyer Kasher Hishilu Achakach Nitzone Nefesh Ayelet Hargosha Sovu Shifusov Ma'at Matlis Notzeitz. So now when the kid starts to grow up, and the sparks of his soul and his feelings and his drives slowly, slowly begin to blossom, so what are they blossoming with? You see a young lad who is filled with the fertile soil and the richness of Torah. That's what's in the system. He's fattened up from the holy, fattened oils of holiness. And therefore, when the feelings, in other words, I don't have all the psychological terms here, but when you get to a certain age, you develop this self-esteem and self-respect, and you're able to make mature thoughts. So when that kicks in, what's it kicking in around? Then those sparks and feelings and drives, they become a strength that adds to what's in there. And to a greater soul, to have grow, ulahosiv ala Torah v'as Hashem, and to increase on the Torah in the service of Hashem, asher hichnisu bo rabosav, that his teachers implanted into him. Bohem, with them, hischanech, they were educated, ubikdushosam hisgadel, and they grew in holiness. In other words, what he's saying in the older generations was, the child wasn't mature, didn't have that deep desire to have his feelings be understood at that point, wasn't developed, but you know, when a kid's 20, 25, then he's developed. Okay, the question is, what's being developed? What's being developed is what's in the system. So when the child from 3 years old is taught Moda'ani and Torah Tzivlanu Moshe, Kamatz Aleph Ah, and he's bombarded with wisdom of Torah. And not only that, but the parent's giving over his neshama to the child. And the child has got no personal preferences at that time. Doesn't have any opinions. So that's all that's in the system. Okay, then when the kid gets into what we call adolescence, and he's beginning to think about, what's he thinking about? He's thinking about all that stuff that's inside of him. And with all that stuff inside of him, it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger until he gets a mature understanding of this Torah that he was given, and he increases to the Torah that he was given as well. Because you brought it into the system before there was any hisnagdut, before there was any opposition to it. The kid wasn't developed so much as a child to think that he knows anything. So therefore, what he knew, he started off as a little kid knowing nothing and not thinking he knew anything. As he gets older, he knows a lot, still not knowing what to think on his own. But then when he gets to be on his own, he has all that Torah as a base to increase on that. And that was the older generation. However, lo kenata b'dareinu, but it's not so in our generation now. She issues va'atzmus hayeled, that independence, that so-called maturity of the child, mimaherli hiskabel ul hiskadel konosmano, it hurries up and it comes much sooner than its appropriate time. These kids mature faster. Gam she ifosav, than his desires, mature faster. Deosav is opinions, Ashkafasav, his wealth and shanks. Mimaros lispateach, they hurry up to develop, Baodam boser marim varsiim, while they're still unripe, bitter, poisonously inside. And he begins to start thinking about everything. Even things that he forbidden to think about. Kish laso, like an independent person. Luis ragesh, and to be, what's the word in English? More than just have feelings, but to, it impacts on him. Luis spoil, bisrakshus loma vushala. And he becomes inspired and impressed by feelings that are not developed. So you have a weak mind that thinks that's starting to think in ways it shouldn't be thinking. It's not a fully developed brain, but it's working full blast, and it's working with what? With nonsense in his system. Can he be with that immature intellect? And with the poisonous inspiration and those feelings that are coming about with him. Of course, it's going to weave through desires and thoughts that are totally wrong and poisonous. So he's saying you have two things. The first problem is kids look at their parents as being oppressive, taking away their independence, and they learn to hate their parents. And number two is that since they are growing up faster than they should, so they grow up and they come up with positions of life. They come up with worldviews. And you're coming up with all these independent thoughts when you're a mere teenager where you're not really developed and you don't have the right stuff inside the system. Then you're going to develop and maintain opinions that are ridiculous. And you're going to live with those opinions for the rest of your life. While the normal kids, they weren't growing up. In other words, the kids are growing up faster. In certain ways. They're growing up faster. When you grow up faster and you're trying to make decisions when you're growing up faster, they're going to be wrong decisions. Because when you are a child, you do have wild tendencies as well. Now, in the earlier generations, they weren't growing up faster. They didn't have all these things. They weren't making position statements yet. They weren't balshitas, people with opinions. You know, you waited till you're older, then you developed your opinions, your world positions, and things like this. In other words, children were allowed to be children. Yeah. Children were allowed to be children. And we're not worried about the causes now. Causes aren't important, the Rebbe said, because that's the way it is. That's the way it is. But children were allowed to be children. We could look on a simple level. On a simple level, you know, that a child was allowed to play, was allowed to fantasize. There's a lot of things you could do as kids, but nowadays people let's say when you were younger you played hockey, but now it's tournaments and it's important and this is the real thing, you know. It's a championship of the 7-year-old divisions. We're going out of town for a big tournament. This is like really big stuff. And the kid thinks he's a Wayne Gretzky already. Nick, you're a 7-year-old. Get up, play.
Put him on the street.
Don't take it so seriously. Just play, have fun. What happened to hide and go seek? What happened to blind man's bluff? You know, just have fun. Be a kid to have fun. It's not so serious. And the kids start yelling at him. I'm going to practice harder. That's not what a kid's supposed to run and play. You know, we let the kids on their own. You know, but you know, they become the media now looks as them as the consumers. Yeah. You know, and the stupid parents who themselves don't know how to make decisions, they let the kids make decisions. They're drinking a cup. A kid makes a decision. Kid doesn't get any choices over here. He's not, because don't let him think he's a grown up. Don't make him think. Because now we're forcing them to grow up. Latchkey kids, right? All these things. And in the Rebbe's days, it was happening too. The Rebbe's days happening too, because they were beginning to be exposed to all kinds of foreign things. This is, we can thank the Renaissance and the Haskalah, and all these things can be thanked for these kinds of things. And that's what's happening. These kids are being made to be sophisticated before they're supposed to be made sophisticated. Right? You take little bat mitzvah girls. It's crazy. Little bat mitzvah girls. Come to say bat mitzvah. They're dressed up like a 20-year-old. A young lady. It's crazy. They're not a young lady. It's a 12-year-old girl. What are you training a cup? She should be wearing frumpy clothes like a 12-year-old. No, they do their hair and a do-up and a this. Are you going on dates? Making a shidduch already? I'm saying even the frump. What are you dressing him up like a grown-up for? She's 12 years old. 12 years old. And what are you dressing? You're telling her, look how important looks are and this and that. So they've been forced to become leaders. You know, you're 12-year-old. Let's not get over, even at 12 and 13, don't get over serious with this. Now, of course, what do we say? You should be able to lane, you know, demand the lane, but you know, you don't have to be all decked out. You know, we have to take a party for them. You are the most special person in the world. Crazy. You're nothing. We just started. Just got a lot of aliyah to the Torah. So you learned how to lane. Big deal. Let's wait another 10, 15 years. Then we'll see if you're something special or not. You say to the kid, now you have responsibility. Now we're gonna work with you to, now what you do counts, these things. But to say, oh, you're unbelievable. And these parents start highlighting all their amazing successes as if they're full grown-ups. Right? I'm saying even in, the secular kids for sure, but I mean even the frum kids, it's ridiculous. We have to make a giant party for you and this and that, glorifying it well beyond what it's meant to be. So as if to say you're a grown up like us, but they're not. Don't let them think that they are. There's so many causes for it. We don't have to belabor the point. It's very clear. Kids come and at 13 they have their worldviews already. You know. Britney Spears is what I'm going to be. This is where it's at, man. Because I've decided, or better yet, you know, when they're four, I don't know what age now. You know, Dad, you don't understand. I love him. Love him at 13. He's my boyfriend. I'm old enough to make decisions of my own, right? And go screwing around with these guys and taking drugs and all these things because I know what I'm doing. Right?
Welcome to share.
You know, and they think they're adults, and they make decisions, and they're making decisions based on 12 years of not developed understanding, and besides all the pollution that's in their brains, and they're making decisions that are horrendous that they're going to live with for the rest of their lives, as opposed to a normal way a child's supposed to be. You're a kid. You know you're a kid. You don't have any positions yet. All you get is Torah knowledge. You don't fight the Torah knowledge. Then when you get old and it's time to make real decisions, then when you're 20, 22, 23, you have to make decisions. It's based on that base of Torah knowledge. And you make reasoned, normal decisions. As a 20-year-old, that's when you start making positions in life and determining who and what you want to be. Even then was a bit early. But that's how you'd have it. Right, so that's two terrible problems, and I think many a parent in this room who has an adolescent can relate totally to what's going on over here. And if you have littler kids, good luck, and you have what to look forward to. Okay, you have what to look forward to. All right? That's where it's at. Right? There's nothing to ask, Howard, but go ahead and ask anyway. There's nothing to ask.
I'm just wondering, if you take the secular knowledge out of this, and you just have a situation where a parent is a farmer, and let's say not that well schooled in Torah, and all of a sudden he sends his kid to a city school or whatever, and his kid becomes a big Torah chacham. Don't you have the same issue, even without all the Industrial Revolution and Torah and secular knowledge creeping in?
Why?
Because the kid all of a sudden knows more than the parent, and he's
but he doesn't know more than the teacher. He doesn't know more than the teacher. And talking about teachers and parents, the kids don't respect anybody. It's okay. Maybe his father's ignorant. But he goes, he respects the Rebbe. He respects the Rebbe. And the Rebbe for sure says, I have to respect your parents. And he respects his parents for bringing him to the Rebbe. Gratitude. Right? Okay. We're at the Yud Zayin now, the fourth line. Okay. If not, It's okay, we can all commiserate together, but once we get past the introduction, then he's going to give us some work to do. So.
Yeah. Right, is this good. Book available in English?
Yes. Yes.
It is. Yes. So it's very expensive. You can,
you
can get copies.
Did it have it now?
No, Israel.
No, you just can't walk into the store and get it.
No, you can get it.
All right, we'll talk about later. Talk about later.
That's how you were to get it.
Talk about later. Imnachtor el toch nefesh hanar. If we penetrate inside the soul of the young child, and we contemplate the tests, the true pure tests along the way of his growth, nira, in other words, if we look at how things develop, the developmental stages of this deterioration, nira, we'll see the following. Shalpiarov, in the majority of cases, Einanar Sor Midarki Hashem Bapamechos. The child doesn't leave the path of Hashem in one shot. It doesn't happen one morning the kid wakes up from being a nice little frum child, the next day being a totally secular child. It usually doesn't happen over one weekend. Okay? Lo Machal Shabbos Bapamechos. You don't become a Shabbos desecrator in 1 minute. Afeina Yotze mi base hamidrash letarti ros lahavdil. So, not even the kid doesn't leave the study hall to go to the cinema or to the theaters. God, not to compare. Suddenly, that doesn't happen one day. He walks out of the base medrash from first seder and goes to the cinema for the afternoon. It doesn't happen like that. The Gemara tells us the following: this is the trade of the Yetzirah. This is the way the Yetzirah operates. Hayom omer lo aseikach. Today he says, do this. Ulamachar aseikach. And tomorrow do that. He starts very, very little. The very little transgression. But then it builds and builds and builds until he gets you to worship idol worship. It's a slow process. Vashkafa rishona, at first look, miskabel haroishem migamorazos. You get the impression from this Gemara. Sheinenu masl miyod baveris achamuros. He doesn't start right away off with the most severe averus. It becomes incremental. You go from the lighter to the heavier. So that's what you figure from the Gemara. If you just read that Gemara plain and simple, the simple meaning of the Gemara is, okay, it's small steps, it gives you a little avera, then a little bigger, until you do the big avera. That's from the Gemara, you get that, that would be the simple meaning, but it's far more complex than that. But in reality, Gamterem Shabala Masa Rishona Hakala Beyoser, even before he comes to the first and slightest indiscretion, there's something happens before that first little Avera. It's gonna say the first little Avera is, let's say, he doesn't say Amen to a bracha. Even though it's a big Avera, but in the scope of things we'll call it a little Avera. You know, it doesn't say Amen to a bracha. And then he starts slurring brachas. And then he starts forgetting to make brachas. All right. Then he stops to worry about every hashkacha. You know, that's slow, right? And then bechlal, he's not interested in even looking at hashkacha. And then he goes to a treif restaurant. And then he starts to be mechal Shabbos. That's the way you figure Gemara. It goes like that. But even before that first little time, he steps over the little line. First time he doesn't say Amen to a bracha. First time he's negligent or defying in an act, even though it's small. There's something that's going on before that first step that the Yetzer Hara is involved in. Gam bedaito penimo hamashber lo nasa pisum upamachas. Even in his mind, the inner crisis doesn't happen suddenly. It's at least a year or before that. His mind starts to get wounded a little bit. In other words, it's a long process. It probably takes more than a year in the mind. Things are going on. There's breakdowns in the mind before we even begin the breakdowns in the service of Hashem. When you see that first little avera, that means there's something cooking over a year's time. Has been cooking in his brain, breakdowns in his brain. Petza v'eino petza, a wound and not a wound. In other words, you know, there's some symptom, something's going on, but not yet anything that terrible. As it says, kinega nearly babois, oh, I think there's a blemish of tsaras in my house. I'm not sure yet. Rakin nega, it's like a blemish. Nega ain't a nega, blemish but not a blemish. There's already questions, already doubts. Umimeno, and then from that little problems, mivatz betzes machshava daka minadaka, then comes a thought, the smallest of thoughts. To start to look at Torah in your service, in your mind, to think of it in a degraded way and as a waste of time. And he starts to look at the outer secular world, the foolish world, the one that things are done spontaneously, that's fiery with the glitz. To him, it looks like a nice, good thing. Right? In other words, it's already a year earlier, he's starting to think, you know, what could be so bad? In your mind, you don't even say anything yet. You know, I would like to see what goes on over there. It would be interesting to see what's going on. And who says, how do I know everything in the Torah is that important? Maybe I could take a little break. It's all his mind. He still goes to Seder, does everything, everything's fine. You know, and that happens. Could happen from a number of reasons. Certainly, in yeshiva, the thing they're always worried about is if boys were reading novels. Mm. You know, start poisoning your mind with novels and things like that, and then you begin to think maybe it is important, maybe other things are more important. So there's all different things, but it's all in the mind. Vazgam siba kali yichol igram petzakase, and then a slight cause can cause a wound to happen. Kimitz arahi bereshisa, because in the beginning it's pain. Veina poelas harbe alav elmas. It doesn't act a lot on your actions, right? And it doesn't come out yet to the surface. Rabosav avchavera vayoser krovim einam akirim bo ashum hishtanus. His rabbis and even his close friends, they can't really tell anything that a change has happened. But slowly, slowly, the wound gets deeper, benafshu into the soul, and develops into his mind, minefesh from the soul, vad baser mechala. It eats away and destroys from the soul to the meat. Upisom, and then suddenly, kol rash nishma, a loud noise is heard. And the Yosef is based Elokim. He leaves the house of Hashem, and he falls into the pit of destruction. Rachman al-Islan, Hashem should save us from this. In other words, this is a slow process that's going on in the mind. And that's why you can see, you know, it's developing and developing and developing, and he's hiding it from people, and unbelievable damage. He's saying it's not merely physical averos that go from small to big. It's the spiritual destruction that's going on, the mental destruction, the inner turmoil and crisis that's going on, where it's thinking and thinking and bubbling and bubbling and bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. And then you can, in other words, then all of a sudden, he could take a go from the base medrash right to the theater in one day, because in his mind he's been traveling that direction for a year. So he's saying it's not necessarily you see physical acts, slowly everything changing. It could be in the mind things are changing. And since he's forced to do certain things he doesn't want to do anymore, so in his mind he's hating it and he's thising and that. And then when it comes ready to explode, then boom, he leaves. And the parents don't understand what happened. What happened? He was in yeshiva yesterday. And all of a sudden he's run off with the circus. What's going on? Because in his mind, he's been running off with the circus for over a year. The Yetzirah was the working on him in his mind for a year until it just gets him. And once you convince the person of how crazy what he's doing is, then the person just decides to leave. And there's nothing you can do.
Sure,
perfect. So let's just finish three more lines. Al Pirov, in most situations, Naga Panimi Zeba Nefesh, this wound, this damage, the inner damage in the soul, Ba min Yeshus. It comes from Yeshus, ego and individual, thinking you're a somebody. Visnagdus an iskarim leil, and oppositions that we talked about before on today. Kaven shenasa yesh b'fnayasvo, because he's made himself into a yesh. I'm a somebody. I'm something. You hold of yourself. Visnagdus avsinu b'vavetzos b'kirba negadavi, and therefore an anger an opposition bubbles against his parents, Rabosa Mechanukov, his teachers and his leaders. L'rak negdam misaresis nagduso. Not only against them arouses his opposition. Rak el asher yoro, so even what they're teaching, valkolis nagusam v'darkam derakodis, and their whole activities and their holy behaviors, he all hates it. Masli stakel bishot nefeshasina, he looks at that with contempt and with anger. That's what's happening. In other words, the person thinks he is somebody and something. And if you think you're somebody and something, then and everybody is suppressing that, then you get angry at them. It just boils and boils and boils, and you hate them all. But if because people are growing up too fast, if you wouldn't grow up so fast, you wouldn't be thinking about how important your ideas are, and you would be able to acquiesce to what people are telling you. All right, we'll stop at this point, and on this depressing point. And the Mirza Shem will come through this. We'll get through this.